1 Kings chapter number 19. Take your Bibles. We'll get started this morning. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Let's preach a little bit. 1 Kings chapter number 19, if you would. The book of 1 Kings chapter 19. Thank you for that good singing. I've enjoyed every bit of it. I enjoy the congregational singing. Man, I love to hear God's people sing. And let me encourage you young people, whenever they sing a hymn, open up that book and get in it. And because it's like closed caption. You'll see words you never knew were right. Y'all ever mess up a hymn when you were a kid? You never have? You weren't in church. You were in Vietnam. That's right. They had church over there somewhere, I think. But, man, I heard so many words growing up as a kid, I couldn't understand what they were. You know, a church without spot or wrinkle. I didn't know what a spot or wrinkle was. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. I was like, what is spot or wrinkle? And then opened up a book and found out it was a spot or wrinkle. And I thought, oh, okay, well, that still don't make sense, but God bless them. Amen. But, man, when you get in that singing, open up that book, sing a little bit, that's good. And then the choir, good night. Y'all could just get on up here and do that again. Amen. I like a whole lot of singing. I'll just let y'all know that. And it's good. I mean, if fundamentals don't like that, they got to get a life. Praise the Lord. And that helped me. Praise the Lord. Don't get scared of music. Let it help you. It'll be all right. And then that trio, good night. That's phenomenal. And the ensemble is good. It's all good. It's all good in the hood. 1 Kings 19. Here we go. It's good to be here. I appreciate the invitation, and we'll get more into that tonight, all that stuff. I feel like preaching time right now, but I'm looking forward to doing a tremendous job. He's been my hero for many, many years, and honestly, he's a great man of God, and I'm excited you get to have him for 2 days, and what a joy. Of course, good night. What a lineup you get Monday through Wednesday. I mean, Dr. Jenkins, I just had the privilege of being with him a couple weeks ago and did a great job as always. And Brother Larry Brown, just as crazy as ever. And hide the coffee when he gets here. He don't need none. Amen. And Brother Darrell Cox is my great, great hero. If I had a list of them, he's at the top. And boy, he helped my wife and I when we first graduated from college. And my only meeting in evangelism was at Trinity Baptist Church in Mocksville, North Carolina. And I'd already given my 2-week notice at the job. We're done. And I'm looking at my calendar, and I got one meeting on a Wednesday night that is 17 hours one way from Longview, Texas. And I thought, man, God, is this what you want? And I remember going into my daddy, because, oh, ye of little faith, you know, Dad, we got to talk. And if you don't give me the answer I want, I'm going to talk to Mama. And then you will give me the answer I want. But I said, Dad, is this what I'm supposed to do? I'm getting nervous, man. I've already given my 2-week notice. I'm fixing to get my last paycheck. I've got a wife. And ain't nobody else calling. And so I'll never forget. Of course, as we got closer to the date, Brother Darrell Cox called me. Boy, I just love that guy. He said, Brother Scott, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing good, Brother Cox. How are you? I'm doing pretty good, this mess out here in North Carolina. He said, but I tell you what, Brother Scott, you coming on up here preach for me? I said, I am. He said, where are you going to be after me? I said, well, hang on a minute. Let me check my book. So you got to act important, you know. So I'm holding the phone for a minute. Can't wait too long. I might hang up. And I said, you know what? He said, I tell you what. He interrupted me. He said, why don't you let me go ahead and fill up a few days for you? I said, praise God. Matter of fact, you can fill up the whole year if you want to. I got a whole open calendar. And that's been 16, 17 years ago. And boy, God's blessed. And we preach there every year for many years. And he's prayed over all my children. And I tell you what, now I'll get to preaching after this, but that man blesses my heart. I never talk to him on the phone where he doesn't call my family by name. And it's one thing to say, hey, praying for you. You. They couldn't find coffee cups. You. Praying for you. It's another thing to say, hey, Brother Scott, I prayed for you, Sister Jenny, Scotty, Philip, little Stephen. That helps me thinking about it. I'm going to hug his neck when I see him Wednesday. Amen. 1 Kings 19, let's preach a little bit. And Ahab, verse 1, that'll help you preach right there. Just preach about old Ahab. Amen. That's an hour. And Ahab told Jezebel, there's another hour, all that Elijah hath done. Look at that. Man runs to the house. Jezebel. Every time I read about Ahab, I can just hear this high-pitched voice. Jezebel. And then here comes Jezebel. Dun, da, 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 dun, da, 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 dun. What? Told all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger. Wait a minute, who's king here?
Right.
Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She said, it's showdown, big boy. Tomorrow, high noon, middle of the street, me and you. You're going to find out who is the king around here. Verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey. I'm sorry, verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Boy, I like that. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Our Heavenly Father, would you help me to preach now these next few moments? I love you. I thank you for the privilege of being called a son of God. You've been so kind to us and you've been so gracious. Thank you for 23 years of the Anchor Baptist Church. And if you tarry your coming, would you give them 23 more? Father, may there be many souls saved. I know they're souls saved every week here. What a wonderful testimony here about this young teen girl saved and baptized just very recently. That's what a church is all about. Now, would you help this church to continue on? Would you meet their needs spiritually and financially and build a hedge about them? Lord, I know the devil doesn't want places like this. It's a great lighthouse for the truth. Would you continue to bless it? Bless this week. A lot goes into a meeting like this. And Lord, I know there's been hundreds and maybe thousands of hours of prayer and work and labor. Would you please bless them and let them see fruits for their labor? Thank you for my wife and children being with me today. I'm so happy right now they're with me. Lord, you know my heart. This blesses me. I pray that you bless my brother and my fathers are both preaching right now. Touch them and use them in a great way, please. Bless my pastor back at home. He's not feeling well. Would you touch his body and strengthen him, please? In your precious name I pray. Amen. I've also got a young man that's with us, Brother Dustin and I. He works with me in RUSA, and he took it over for me during the tour while I was gone and did a great job. And he's in college. He is looking, by the way, so amen. Here we go. For a female, praise God. All right. 1 Kings chapter 19, you'll find the story of Ahab and Jezebel. We'll get into that in just a second, but the main crutch and the main text of the message that I want to point out is this. In verse number 3, the Bible says that when he saw that, he arose, takes off running. He goes and hides. In verse number 4, he goes into the wilderness there, and the Bible says that Elijah hides himself under a juniper tree. Juniper trees grow about 4 to 5 feet. He's pretty low in his life, and here he is hiding under this juniper tree. And then while he's there, look at verse number 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, there an angel touched him. And he said, arise and eat. And then in verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him. I want to preach on this subject, the touch of the Father. The touch of the Father. We've got a great week ahead of us here. Faith Harbor Week, just that title in itself. Faith, there's nothing like having faith. Especially when you're a believer and you know who you have that faith in. I don't have faith in any man. I don't have faith in any group. I don't have faith in any political party. Praise God for that. I don't have faith in any area. I have faith in one. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the fact that we can have the touch of that Father. If we can, by way of introduction, let me just back up a little bit. In verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Look at his testimony of faith. I like the fact that somebody did something somebody got to talk about.
Amen.
Well, they're talking about us. That means you're doing something.
Right.
Amen. We don't talk about people ain't doing much.
Amen.
I love the fact he had a testimony of what he did. What did he do? Well, you remember the previous chapter. Elijah shows up and said, all right, showdown time. Let's go. You get all your so-called false preachers together, and I'll be by myself. You go ahead and call it on Baal. Let's decide today. If it's Baal, let's follow him. If it's not, let's follow God. You know the story. Man, they're dancing around this altar. I mean, they got every kind of thing going on, man. They're dancing the jig and everything else. And I like Elijah. He starts mocking them.
Amen.
Cocky or confidence, I don't know. But there's a real fine line there. And I don't know what side I'm ever on. I don't think I've ever been confident. So here he is. He starts mocking them. He said, hey, pray louder. Maybe your God's getting a little hard of hearing. You know, Baal's been around a while. And then he starts mocking. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's on a trip. Boy, they get so crazy. They're tattooing themselves. Cutting themselves. Man, they're dancing around going crazy. Elijah's over there just picking that Egg McMuffin out of his teeth, just smiling. Saying, y'all done? Oh, man, we can't get fire. I can see a couple of them false prophets rubbing sticks together trying to make something happen. They all been working their way. Isn't it amazing? Baal, he wasn't but a very small statue. It wasn't a big god at all. And why they were so scared of him, I don't know. Because Elijah said, now let me show y'all something. He said, go ahead and get that altar ready. A friend of mine was over in Israel on a tour. You know, a lot of folks go over there and take tours and stuff. And he was with about 30, 40 people. And they're going around. The tour guide was showing them all the different places. And one day they were at that spot where they said that this place, this story took place. And he was going through and he said, by the way, this is the very altar that sacrifice was on. And he was going through and describing what happened, telling about the story. My friend pastors down in Georgia, Brother Mark Stroud. He's about 6'5", about 280-something pounds. He's a big hoss. He's standing there, and he raised his hand. That tour guide looked at him. He said, now, he said, I'm not very smart. He said, but that ain't it. The tour guide, excuse me? I mean, who's the tour guide here? You know, I'm the smart one. I live here, you know. Sir, this is the very spot. He told about all the crowd, where they came from and where the palace would have been and where this and this. And Brother Stroud said, I'm sorry, that ain't it. He looked at him and said, well, excuse me. He said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Georgia. He said, Georgia? Yeah, I preach down there. Wahoo Baptist Church. Wahoo. Brother, you ought to get him. I'm telling you what, he'll burn the building. He just gets crazy. God handled it all. He'd have been walking up in the choir, diving in the baptistry. Wahoo Baptist. I love Brother Mark. He raised his hand and said, that ain't it. He said, well, how do you know? He said, because according to my King James Bible, the Bible says that when God set down the fire, he licked up the altar and the sacrifice. He said, sir, it all took off. It ain't here no more. He said, that may look like it, but that ain't it. But go ahead, you're doing good. Everybody else, he said, for the rest of the tour, that tour guy said, now over here, and he'd go into things, and they'd all look at Brother Mark. But yeah, that's right, okay. And they'd believe him. Here he is, Elijah. He called down fire from heaven, and God answers his prayer, and all of a sudden it's licked up, it's gone. And he said, don't let any of them get out of here. Kill them all. He gave him a good old fundamental haircut, man. Blocked it right in the back. Took it off their head. Here he is. What a testimony. Ahab runs back. Jezebel, you're not going to believe what happened. Jezebel said, I'll take care of him. Then you'll find the triumph over the flesh. He slays all the prophets in verse 1. He talks about what he did, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Whenever God's people took over a place, one of the first things they did was take down the false gods, because God said, I'll have no other God before me. Second thing they would do is they would kill all the groves. They would chop down all the groves, because very perverted acts would go on in there, performed to their false gods. And God said, I don't want that. The flesh has always gotten the way of meeting with God.
Amen.
Hey, let me just say something right now. In Genesis chapter 1, when the Spirit of God was moving, there was no flesh around. You better be very careful about allowing flesh to get in the middle of when the Spirit of God is moving. Hey, don't mess things up when God's moving the water. Say amen right there. It ain't time to mess things up in the house of God, getting all that flesh in there. Well, I don't think they should have sung that like that. And I don't think they ought to act that way. And they're shouting so loud I can't even hear. Well, move down front. Come sit by this speaker. You'll hear real well. You see, when the Spirit of God is moving, hey, keep the flesh out of it. Amen. He said he had triumph over the flesh. But not only that, in verse number 3, The third thing you see is that, verse number 3, and when he saw that, he arose. Well, wait a minute, Elijah, you just got done calling down, he said fire and God sent it. Who tells God what to do? There's been a very few people. Moses argued with God a little bit. I don't know how he did that. God said, I'm wiping that crowd out. Moses said, don't you dare. They're your people. You're going to look bad. And the Bible says God repented. All to Jesus. Here came God down the aisle. Yes, what's your decision tonight? I'm repenting. I'm not going to destroy my people. And Moses said, that's good. I like that. And that's what it was. Moses talked to Abraham. He said, you can't do that.
Yeah.
God said, yeah, you're my friend. I got to come talk to you. Nobody else will listen to me in heaven. He called Abraham his friend. And then here's Elijah saying, I need fire. Fire. Who does that? I would love to call down fire. We were in L.A. for a couple days preaching a team meeting over there. And boy, every now and then, 99.9% was all right. But boy, there's one girl, she just... If I could say fire, fourth row, third woman, thank you. I promise you, even if you didn't like me, you'd at least grin at me, scared to death of me, say amen.
Amen.
Elijah calling down fire. Elijah killing about 850 men. Elijah was this man. But wait a minute, now the testing of his fear when he sees the report that Jezebel said, tomorrow, this time, you're a dead man, or let it happen to me. Evidently, she had a pretty good testimony herself, and the Bible says when Elijah saw that, he arose and went for his life. And let me just say this, Christian, you're gonna fear sometimes.
Yes, sir.
It's not a bad thing. Don't think you're a sinner. Well, I feel like, man, I'm just wicked and evil because I've got fear. We all have fear.
Right, yes, sir.
Put me in a church building at night when the light's on, I'm afraid.
Yeah, right.
Amen. I was raised in church, man, but I don't want to go in at night when ain't nobody else there. That makes me nervous. I hear voices. Amen. And they ain't singing God handled it all. They're saying get out of here. Amen. He saw that. He was fearful. But then he takes off running. And here's where we're preaching today. He found the touch of the Father. I don't know of a lonelier place for a preacher to be than standing in the stead of God as God has called men to preach the gospel and preach to people but not have the touch of the Father. I don't know of a sadder place to be than for a singer to be up singing a wonderful song of Zion, trying to encourage the saints of God, but they forgot to get alone in a room somewhere and say, God, my talent can only go so far. I need your touch. I need your help. I need your power. I don't care what song I sing, if they've heard it 100 times or if it's the first time, I need you.
Amen.
Not a lonelier place and try to get up here and perform and entertain, but not get God in on it. Not a lonelier place and for a choir, and you got phenomenal music around here, but for a choir to get up and, yeah, they did a great job because I kind of believe it was God saying, I like that.
Amen.
They're not singing to perform. They're singing to praise me.
Amen.
Don't let this crazy spiritual religious world scare you. We're not here to sing for each other. Man, we're here to sing to honor and glorify God.
Amen.
And here it is, he finds himself at a low place, and the Bible says that the angel came and he touched him. I want to give you some things about this touch. Number one, it's a touch of refreshment. In verse number 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel came and touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Boy, that's a blessing. Amen. You ought to put on your gospel track, when we meet, we eat. I knew when I walked in that door, I said, preacher, I know the coffee's not in that hallway. He said, it sure is, with donuts and eggs and bacon. I thought, good night. This is my kind of church. Even if I got mad, I'd show up for breakfast. Then I'd say, hey, I got something to get out of the car. I'll be right back. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. It's a touch of refreshment. You know, whenever you ever wake up hungry, and I mean, I love breakfast. That's my favorite meal. Sometimes we eat breakfast for supper, don't we? Man, when mama says, I'm making pancakes and bacon and eggs, and it's like, woo, house gets happy. There's sometimes it's 11 o'clock at night, we're sitting around eating cereal. Just for fun. Frosted Flakes and Fruit Loops and Lucky Charms and, wow. That's a way to live life. Say amen right there. Y'all don't act so sophisticated like you never eaten Lucky Charms. And every one of you grown adults, you know you eat the marshmallows last. Don't act crazy on me. And if you get desperate making sweet potatoes, put some marshmallows from Lucky Charms in there. Say amen. Hey, man, it's a touch of refreshment. Can I say it's a, first of all, it's a noticed touch. When I eat, I know it. You know, I'm going to teach you some deep truths today. Because I know the one that comes after me on Monday, he ain't going to get nothing, all right? I got to get him now while I can, amen. And then I'll get him after he leaves town. So he can say whatever he wants to in between, ain't going to matter. It's a notice thing. I've never eaten, and then when I get done, go, have I eaten? If you did, it was not a good meal. You ate a meal of cotton candy. It just like disappeared. No, when you eat, it's a notice thing. Can I say not only that, it's a natural thing. John 10:10, he said, I am come that they might have what? Life. You're supposed to have life. It's a natural thing. If you're alive, guess what you'll want to do? Eat. Can I tell you, y'all don't get mad at me, y'all pray for me now, but can I tell you why a lot of us don't like to eat the Word of God? It might be because we're not even alive yet. I'm not God. I can't look at anybody and tell you who's saved. I know of one that's saved, and it's me, because I remember the day I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, one of the birthmarks of the believer is the fact that he'll be hungry for the things of God. And let me just say, you might, hey, and if you're not hungry, you need to check a couple things out. First of all, you might be so full of the world, that's why we're not hungry when we come in here. Hey, every kid in here has had their daddy or their mama say, don't be eating, we're going to have supper in a little bit. Put that down. And every real boy got 3 brownies in his pocket. Well, yes, ma'am. I put the one down you saw, but I ain't taking these out of my pocket. You didn't say clear the pockets, you said put that down. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then every one of you parents, boy, you mamas, you work so hard on a meal, and nobody get more offended than a mama after nobody ate the meal. Well, didn't you like it? Yes, I liked it. I'm just very full. Why are you full? Well, if you'll open up that pie pan, ain't nothing in there. Amen. Can I tell you something? Maybe we ate too much out there. Can I tell you what will help Faith Harbor Week? Is if we all fast from the world and get our systems cleaned out from the world. Get that worldly music out of us. Get that world TV. Hey, turn the TV off for a couple days. Ain't going to hurt you. Oh, Fox News and CNN News. I mean, you're going to get depressed in a matter of minutes. Because if you're a Democrat, the Republicans are coming. If you're a Republican, the Democrats are coming. And if you're an independent, we never win. I mean, come on, you're going to be depressed. Say amen. Take your Ron Paul signs down. He ain't going to make it, all right? What are we going to do if Obama gets in? I don't know. What are we going to do if Romney gets in? I guess all the men have to marry 10 women. I don't know. He's a Mormon. I mean, who knows? And that ain't heaven, by the way. That's 10 mother-in-laws. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a good thing. We're so glad you're here today. Amen. My bad. My name's Bob Gray Jr. if you get upset. But it was a notice touch. Jesus said, I'm come to give you life and to give you more abundantly. It's a touch of refreshment. Here's Elijah. He's under that juniper tree. He is at the lowest state of his life. Man, he thought things were going good. I just had a big day. I mean, I'm ready to write it up in the paper. Anyone else slain 450 prophets of Baal? Nope. Anyone else call down fire? Nope. Starting a fire conference. Man, I'll teach everybody how to do this. It ain't a few verses later. A messenger walks up and says, excuse me, sir. I recognize you. You're that hairy man. He said, yeah, that's me. Bible says he's a hairy man. I mean, just beard, hairy everywhere. He said, you must be Elijah. What do you want? He said, Jezebel, you know her? Yeah. She said, by tomorrow, you're dead. I'm just telling you that, man. Don't get mad at me. I saw the fire come down. Dude, aim it that way. But it gets a hold of his spirit, gets a hold of his heart. He takes off running. He's scared out of his mind. And the Bible says that he needed that touch of refreshment. Can I say it's a notice? It's natural, but it's needed. When you're weary in the way, you and I need that touch. There's people in this church that have worked their fingers to the bone. getting ready for a week like this. Isn't it amazing the people that work the most get the most out of it? I mean, some of them will be sitting in a service and just like, prop me up if I go down. Shake me, would you? I'm so tired right now. Man, I've worked so much. I've prayed so much. I've done so much. Wow, I'm so tired. It's amazing how the Spirit of God can refresh. Amen. It's a touch of refreshment. Number two, it's a touch of reminder. Look at verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the what? Second time. Evidently, we need it again. Amen. Come back tonight. Get it again.
Amen.
Go back tomorrow night. Get it again. I mean, we need that touch of her. It's a reminder. Look at verse number 7. Touching the second time and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Can I say you need that touch reminder? One, because of the length of the journey. It's too great for thee. You know, I try to encourage and try to get parents to be encouraged about raising their kids. And people say, well, how do you raise kids? I have no idea. I can tell you. Now, I can tell you this. Raising something from 0 to 12 is no big deal. I mean, I just got to say that, okay? 0 to 12 is all right. Duct tape. It always helps. I'm just kidding. 0 to 12 is okay. Now, teenager, that's a different world.
Yes, sir.
Woo! When they're taller than you and they're looking down saying, why'd we do this? Oh, good question. I need to go find this out. There's a length of the journey. How are we going to do this? How are we going to have a good marriage? How are we going to raise kids? We met a couple this summer, been married 70 years. They got married like when they were two. 70 years. Don't tell me there wasn't a fuss or fight somewhere. Somebody want to kill somebody in 70 years. Say amen.
Amen.
I hear preachers, well, my wife and I have been married 40,000 years. We've never fought one time. Well, because they're never home. Amen. You're going to be in a church 23 years. Somebody going to get offended. Somebody's not going to like something. Somebody going, hey, I didn't like that. That's not going right. That's not the way I would do it. Well, then get called to preach. We'll sing the Bible college. You go start your own and you do it the way God wants you to do it. Hey, but while you're here, you better get the touch of God, because it's a long journey. You young people that go to public school, hey, let me encourage you. You're that missionary in that school. You're that one that can lead your other friends to Christ. You're that one that can stand for God. You're that one that can bow your head in the lunchroom and pray and let them know I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're that one that can carry your Bible in the classroom. I don't care what they say. You can carry your Bible. You can carry your Bible. Call me and I'll help you carry your Bible. Hey, I got 150 of them. Tell me, Dustin, I got a couple hundred of them, man. They carry their Bibles all the time.
Amen,
amen, friend. They'll text me almost every day. Had another one saved.
Amen.
They put me to shame and said, I get a little embarrassed. I didn't have nobody saved today. I'm at House of Aaronson. I know there's a lot of lost up there. Amen. I'll pray in front of Brother Teff. That's my stand for the faith. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. There's a long journey. You're going to need a touch.
Amen.
You young girls, to be pure and clean till marriage, it's a long journey. You're going to need the touch of God.
Amen.
Hey, boys, you ain't got the right to be no hound dog. For you to be clean and pure till you get married too, it's a long journey.
Amen.
Not only that, look at the load of the journey. Verse number 8. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days. What in the world did he eat?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, I ate yesterday. Thank you for your response, Dr. Bell. That's why I like you. I just need to get a recording of you and take it with me everywhere I go and just play it. Because a lot of churches, they ain't like this. There's no response. They look at me like, who is he again and what's he doing here? Amen. 40 days. I ate a real good meal yesterday. But can I tell you something? I'm starting to get hungry. Matter of fact, I was getting hungry when that trio was singing, and that was good. I probably could have left right then. And woo! That was good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's go. See y'all tonight. Here's Elijah. He eats, and the next day he's walking around going, man, that was good food. I'm stuffed. 7 days later, oh, man, I'm stuffed. I don't know what they put in that meatloaf. I'm stuffed. 30 days later, 40 days. Can I tell you something? You got a long journey. Some of you are going to be carrying some heavy burdens on that journey. And there's no feasting like the feasting on the Word of God. Amen. You can listen to preaching CDs, you can listen to good music, you can listen to all that, but there's nothing like you and God getting together and God saying, hey, I made something for you this morning, and it's really good, and it's really fresh, and if you and I come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine, and if you'll just come down and sit with me a little bit, hey, I'd love to feed you so you'll be okay in this journey you got to walk in. There's a load of the journey, but not only that, the learning that you have from the journey. Verses 9 through 12, the Bible says, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And so he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I am left. And they seek my life, take it away. Man, look how he's talking to God. Sounds kind of rude. Sounds like that prodigal's brother. Yeah. Your son. Wasted your money. I mean, he's talking pretty rude. Here's Elijah. Everybody else, oh, they're doing wrong. If it wasn't for me, God, you'd have nobody. God says, really? All of a sudden, verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains. He just wanted to show them how much power there is. Rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Look at this. And after the fire, a still, small voice. There's going to be something we need to learn from the journey. Not only is it a touch of refreshment, it's a touch of reminder. Let's be reminded, it may not be what you're looking at. God said, no, come here. I want to talk to you. That's why if we'll get empty of self, be cleansed of sin, make Jesus the preeminence of our life, and I believe that smallest sound. You ever seen those kids in a restaurant or a grocery store or something that, man, you think, good night, that kid's full of the devil. I mean, they're pulling shelves over. They're just, I mean, the head's twisting around and around. You know, and they're going crazy. And that mother, stop it. Quit it. Sweetie. And then there's that other parent that all they got to do is just look at that little boy. I'm scared right now. He's like, please go stare at me. All it takes is one just glancing at one. Does God have to bring down the twin towers in our life to get our attention? Or can through just a congregational song or through maybe just the reading of the text or maybe just the pastor saying, you know, a greatest decision ever made in my life, or maybe, can I tell y'all just a little something? Is it enough to where God can just look at us and, yes, sir. Everybody knows I'm talking about when mama glares at you. She ain't even got to be your mama. Because you don't question God, and you don't question mamas. And it may be mama first, because she got skin on, she'll hurt you, amen. The still small voice. But the last thing is this. Look at verse 13. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Can I say it's a touch of refreshment? And praise God for that. It's a touch of reminder, but also it may be a touch of rebuke. He gets on to Elijah a little bit and he said, can I ask you a question? What are you doing here? Man, you're in a cave. I didn't tell you to go to that cave. You're scared of Jezebel? I can take care of her. Right. You're scared of Ahab? I can take care of him. I'm the one who puts the kings up. I'm the one who takes the kings down. He even called Nebuchadnezzar his servant. He said, I'll use who I'm going to use. I'll sit down who I don't want to use. Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah begins to complain a little bit. And don't misunderstand, I'm not trying to rebuke Elijah. I can't touch the hem of his garment. But in verse 14, and he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, that they may seek my life to take it away. Wait a minute, that sounds kind of like verse 10. You mean after that still small voice, after the touch of God, you're still griping? Really? God showed you how he can rent the mountains. God showed you how he can bring the earthquake. God showed you how he can bring down fire. God showed you how powerful he is. And guess what we're still doing? Lord, I'm the only one. For me, this church would not be in existence. Faith Harbor, they ought to give me a plaque. I'm just saying. If it wasn't for my faith, they wouldn't find the harbor. I'm the anchor of that church. I'm just saying, I'm glad I could be here for y'all. God says, really? And you can see God saying, you created what? And you saved who? And do you have a son that can redeem anybody? Look what happens. A touch of rebuke, first of all, because of self-pity. He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? You're my man. You're not supposed to be here. Hey, believer, you're chosen of God. God saved you. Don't go to the job like another lost person. Don't go to school like another. No. You're one of God's kids. Act like it. Self-pity. Oh, it's so hard. Do we live in America? Oh, I'm so tired. It's Monday. Get over it. Forgive me. Can I preach just a second on that? I get so mad. Oh, it's Monday. According to my Bible, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Went to bed at 5 this morning, got up a couple hours later. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, you teenagers are doing real good. I don't know if they put like glue to your seats and y'all are stuck there or what, but most places I preach at, you open the Bible and kids all got to go potty. I got to go potty. But if you played the latest Batman movie, they wouldn't breathe. Say amen right there. Hey, adults, we're right with them. We're okay if it's a movie or a ball game or going hunting. But then you say, open your Bible. Oh. My back, belly, and both sides hurt. I'm so tired. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know how some of our fundamental Christians are still alive. How you doing, brother? Oh, brother, how long do you have? I got to talk to you a minute. And I know we have woes. I know we have problems. I mean, I turned 40. Woo! And man, I told my wife, I said, something right there hurting. I was preaching teen camp in Alaska last month. Man, we're playing football till like 2 in the morning. Because out there in the summertime, it only gets dark like 3 hours. I mean, it looks like this at midnight. It's light outside, just to let y'all know. It's like, really? But I mean, we're playing football like 2 in the morning. And I'm fine till I looked at my watch. And then I was like, oh, I'm so tired, you know. 5-hour time change where I left my family. I was like, well, yeah, I'll see you in a little bit, you know. And I wake up, and I'm like, whoa, something's hurting over there. Can I buy a new one of those? You know, how do you do this? And my wife's like, stop doing that. I'm like, I can't help it. I got to take the challenge. Ain't no boy going to tell me beat me in basketball. Are you out of your mind? I got 2 flagrants. I got 5 strong fouls I can use. Amen. He got to the place of self-pity. God said, I can't handle that. Not only that, he got to the place of self-righteousness. Verse 14, he said, I only am left. But then look what happened. Rebuke comes because of stubbornness. In verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go. He's done listening to him. Okay, go. Return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Look at this. God didn't even talk about Jezebel. He didn't even talk about Ahab. He said, Elijah, you done? Well, God, it's so hard. God, I've done this. I've done this. I'm the only one. God said, fine. Then you don't have to worry about being the only one. Yeah. Go back and anoint. Yeah. Verse 16. And Jehu, the son of Nishai, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. You'll take care of Syria. You'll take care of Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. It ended. Be careful. Let's watch our whining. A lot of children of Israel went to heaven early because they murmured. And I'm there right with you. I'm guilty. If we're not careful, we have so much good around our world that we gripe so bad about the little things going wrong. And God said, that's fine. And then look what he said, verse 17. It shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Ahaziah shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. He said, Elijah, let me just remind you something. You're not the only one. But since you think you are, I think it's time for you to come be with me. So I tell you what you do. Go anoint. There's a young man that's going to take your place. And by the way, there's 7,000 that are ready to go. Again, I can't touch the hem of Elijah's garment. Don't misunderstand. But I wonder what more he could have done if he would have just taken that touch that God gave him, and that second touch that God gave him, and that still small voice, and if he'd have said, let's do it. God could have said, turn around, buddy. There's 7,000 ready to go with you. And I think 7,001 preachers can take care of one woman. But because not, he missed it. Don't miss the touch of God. I need it. You need it. Before you come back to church tonight, let's pray for the touch of God. Before the other pastors get here, why not take a few minutes tonight, as I'm sure you have been doing, but take some time tonight and take some time in the morning and say, God, give them a good flight. God, give them the words and the message they need to preach. God, fill them with your spirit. Protect their families back at home. God, keep them safe. God, I know what it's like to be separated from them. And God, would you strengthen them? God, give me the ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. God, I need your touch as a listener. Give them the touch as a speaker. Give the singers a touch as they sing and minister to my heart and get me ready for the preaching of the Word of God. If anything that we as believers need is the touch of God.
Amen.
If you're here today and not saved, why don't you let the Holy Spirit of God touch you and convict you, and don't quench him. If you're lost on your way to hell, what a great time to get it settled.
Amen.
You're in a place right now that if you shot your hand up and said, I'm lost, there's probably 50 that would dive on top of you with the gospel in their hand and can tell you exactly how to get saved.
Amen.
I mean, there's little children around here that can quote the Romans Road. There's senior saints that can sweetly take the word of God and show you how to be saved. It's a done deal. And those of us that are saved, let's quit playing games. Let's quit playing church. Let's quit playing Sunday school. I got one shot at this thing called life, and I don't want to waste it living on temporal things. I want to give every second I have to God Almighty. I need the touch of God.
Amen.
Oh, I got to have that refreshment.
Amen.
And I got to have that second touch. And I want to walk out not complaining about what I think should have happened. But I want to walk out like Elijah did and say, whew, I'm full.
Amen.
And did you hear that song? And did you see that in the text? And did you? Oh, I'm so full. I think I'll go back and eat again tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure do love you. My, how you've been so good to us. Thank you for allowing me to be called a son of God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness. Lord, as I said earlier, if there's one here today that's not saved, they're having doubts or questions, Lord, would you encourage them? Holy Spirit of God, convict them right now that they'll trust you before it's eternally too late. Those that are saved, maybe you help us to step up and step out. Not be like Elijah where you're standing for God, not the Elijah where it's self-pity. And it happens to all of us. But would you help us to shake ourselves and get that touch of God that we need? With our heads bowed and eyes closed, can I just ask you a couple questions? I'll turn over to the pastor. Is there anyone here today that say, Brother Scott, I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. I'm born again. I can tell you all about it if I had to. Would you raise your hands as a testimony and know for sure? Praise the Lord. It's a beautiful picture right there. You can go over your hands. Thank you so much. Is there anyone here today? I wouldn't embarrass you for the world, but I do want to pray for you. Is there anyone here today that would say, Brother Scott, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I've got some doubts. I've got some questions. And to be honest with you, I'd just like for you to pray for me. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything. I do want to pray for you. Would you very quietly raise your hand so I can see it? You're not 100% for sure that you're saved, but you'd like for me to pray for you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Brother Scott, would you pray for me? I don't know for sure. God bless you. Anyone else? But Scott, I've got some questions about this. I've got some doubts. I know I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? Father, I pray that you'd bless this invitation. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house with your people. And Lord, would you please do the work that only you can do? And I promise you, we'll give you all the honor and all the glory for it when it's all said and done. In your precious name, I pray.